Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Mark Bartek. We'll watch a clip from Radiating Joy and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guest is Mark Bartek. He works for Focus. And tonight, we're talking about Michelle Dupont, servant of God, Michelle Dupont. The Diocese of Bismarck has opened up her cause back in 2022. And she was a Focus missionary. And she got cancer and died at the age of 31. Mark was her boss when she was with Focus, so he's going to share some stories about her with us. And also, he's on the documentary, Radiating Joy, if you saw that on EWTN.
I think it's kind of rare to know somebody that's on the way to sainthood to actually be able to talk to those that knew her firsthand and kind of get more of that knowledge of who Michelle was and what her faith life was like, which is so important. So we're now going to a clip from the documentary Radiating Joy.
She was out in our vineyard one day working when she got a call from Focus saying, "We want to hire you. We have a place for you." And that was a great source, tremendous source of joy for her.
And it just so happened that after we kind of made the staff assignments that year, my role changed as well. And I ended up going back to Nebraska as the team leader. And that's how we got to work together.
I joined Focus, and one of the first missionaries I met, and that was Michelle Dupont. She just had a calming, joyful presence. If somebody were to ask me what sums Michelle up the most, it was her smile.
My first Mass I went to my senior year, I walked out after not knowing anyone, and I saw Michelle. She just walked up and said hello. She just saw that I was kind of in my sweats, ready to go home and, you know, watch TV in my dorm, and she walked up and introduced herself. And I told her that night I wanted to really figure out if I was called to be Catholic. And she invited me to community night that night and just introduced me to her friends.
Being able to greet each person sincerely, honestly, it was as if when she walked into a room, she asked herself, "How can I serve?" And she would go sit with someone who didn't know anyone else.
I remember the few times that we did talk that year, like, she just zeroed in on people. And you hear stories about St. John Paul II, St. Teresa of Calcutta, this ability when you're talking to them for the world to just fall away. And that was definitely a characteristic that Michelle had. She put Jesus before everything, and then with that, just put people before herself.
Mark Bartek, welcome to Life on the Rock.
Thank you very much, Father Mark.
That's at least your second time. I know I've interviewed you before at Focus. Mm-hmm. And your current position with Focus, what is that?
I'm the Senior Director of Mission Partner Development, which is I help missionaries fundraise for the mission. So that's how they get to campus. They raise enough they can go.
And they need to generally raise how much for a year?
It's about $35,000 to $45,000 would be kind of the base, but it varies depending upon where they live or if they're married or have kids or things like that. So it varies a little bit in that as well.
Yeah. And I wanted to have you on because I saw you in that beautiful documentary, A Radiating Joy, about Michelle Dupont. And can you give us a brief sketch of her life, an overview of her life?
Servant of God, Michelle Dupont, who I'm blessed to have called a close friend. Mm-hmm. We walked together in mission. So Michelle was born in Denver, Colorado, actually, or Arvada, maybe. And then when she was very young, her family moved back to North Dakota. Her roots are in North Dakota. And then she grew up in Haymarsh, North Dakota. Just lived a kind of farm girl life and went off to college in the metropolitan city of Fargo, North Dakota. Went to North Dakota State University. She was deeply involved in her faith there at St. Paul's Newman Center and got involved with Focus as a student. And then when she graduated in 2006, she joined Focus as a missionary. And she served with Focus as a missionary from 2006 to 2012, I believe it's 6 years. And then she went back to Bismarck, North Dakota, and served with the diocese there as the, adult faith formation. Yeah. Working to kind of bring discipleship and evangelization. She started the Thirst Conference. And then in, I believe, 2014, December 2014, she was diagnosed with colon cancer. And fast forward 1 year to December 25th, 2015, she passed away of cancer. And then years passed by, and then just a few years ago, Bishop Kagan of North Dakota, of Bismarck, North Dakota, opened her cause, the investigation to hopefully move her towards beatification and canonization. So she's officially a servant of God.
Right. What did you first think when you heard that, servant of God?
When I first heard that, I wasn't surprised, actually. Mm-hmm. It was one of the things that Michelle and I, in our work as missionaries, that we always talked about, is that we're called to be saints. So I wasn't surprised that it was happening. I was surprised when it was happening, that it was really, I mean, she passed away in 2015, and it's not been that many years. And so just the fact that it moved so quickly, I was like, oh, it makes sense. It's what I always thought was going to happen. I just didn't think it would be just a few years after her passing.
And I think there was like many stories of like, of her intercession just pouring in that was influence on the bishop.
Yeah, he told a few of them within the documentary, but stories of miraculous cures of cancer, and these all have to be investigated. So alleged stories, I suppose we would say, as well as I've heard many of infertility and miraculous babies and being born and things, all sorts of things like that. So,
and among the focus community, was there much talk about her before that point? I mean, she was well known, or?
There was kind of two things that were taking place. So she was kind of known, and we told the stories about her. Mm-hmm. So people wanted to know about her, and more people. Jessica Navin, who works with Focus, is one of our leaders of spiritual formation, and others on the team. Many missionaries have been asking questions about her life and how she lived and her prayer. And so they were actually doing kind of some training videos, and they interviewed several people that knew her and just kind of a little bit of her background, and had put together a training video. And then when the bishop announced, he actually announced at Focus's new staff training commissioning mass a few years ago, that he was opening the cause. It wasn't the official open, he did that on November 1st. But he announced to the missionaries that he was opening this cause. All of a sudden, like, the training videos went into overdrive, and we're going to develop, and that's where the film came out of. We started working with Anderson Arts and Danny Anderson, the producer there, in order to produce a really high quality film to tell the story of Michelle's life and her death, and hopefully her intercession.
It is very high quality. I was blown away by it. So well made. Just feel like just everything was advancing the story. You know, it was like it just held you riveted. Mm-hmm. You know, it had her suffering, but also had the joy and triumph, you know, of her life. Now, you were a regional director, so you were her boss in a sense as a missionary.
Yeah.
And it seems like she was a model missionary. What made her special?
I think many things. Michelle was really focused on relationships, and my experience with her was always the same. From really the first time when we began becoming friends early in our missionary career until when I was her supervisor later, every time I encountered her, it was like encountering her. It was like meeting a long lost friend. And even when we'd have a weekly meeting or whatever, she was just always focused on the person that was in front of her. You know, I hear stories about St. John Paul II, St. Teresa of Calcutta, and this experience that people would have when they would encounter them, where like the world would pass away. Yeah. And when I think back on it, that's what my experience with Michelle was like. It was, we could be at a conference like this, and I'd run into Michelle, and it was like nobody else was there. Yeah. And she was just exceptionally focused on the person in front of her. But not only that, when she prayed, I think people experienced it. So when she would say, I'll pray for you, you knew that was very, she was making a commitment, and she would be in the chapel and she'd be remembering your intentions.
Yeah.
But also she was just really very committed to holiness. She believed that she was called to be a canonizable saint, and that everyone is, and that at every moment God is providing the grace that we need so that we can become canonizable saints. And she lived that way with such great trust and confidence in God.
I've read that she would often like go into the room and center on the person, the loner, right? The isolated. And because one of her friends described her too, not as one that's like at the center of attention, but you think she would be, a beautiful smile and everything and a compelling personality, but not that kind of, she didn't use the gift that way, right?
No, she was very much a missionary. And I think it was something naturally that she cultivated to look for the person who needed the connection. And so she would go into the room and she would look, everybody's there, and who I think she would pray. I never confirmed this, but I think she would ask God, like, who do you want me to talk to? And she would find that person and talk to that person.
And probably mentored hundreds of students, you think?
Or,
Yeah, that's powerful. You know, I've got a quote from her in her blog for the Diocese of Bismarck when she worked there, and it's about that, which you mentioned, the call to holiness. And she says, my point is that sometimes I think we can get caught up in thinking that holiness is imitating everything the saints did. And we forget that God is calling each of us to follow him and carry out the mission he gives us in a unique way. We shouldn't and can't judge our holiness by comparing ourselves to others, whether they're the saints in heaven or our neighbors here on earth. I mean, I've heard that my whole religious life. But suddenly when she said it that simply, it really struck me. You know, she goes on later to say, you know, we allow this love that God pours into our hearts, you know, to be in our relationships, you know, with others. And it just seemed like, I can do that as, you know, as a person called to holiness, right?
And I think one of the things that is, I think that quote sums her up in such a profound way, because when I think about what the world needs now, we need saints, and they seem so lofty and so far out there. And Michelle is the most down to earth, real person that I could ever imagine. And the fact that all of this has come together, that the Lord has blessed her life and her death, and everything has taken place from that point, that she could potentially be a witness to all of us who, you know, we don't want to get up in the morning, or we don't want to do the hard thing. We can't imagine, how am I going to go and be a martyr or travel to, you know, other parts of the world in order to be a missionary? And she was just a missionary in her backyard. And she, she loved being like a farm girl, like going back to the farm. She'd always talk about the farm.
Well, we'll take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment with Mark Bartek. You know, Mark, in my community, we have some upper Midwesterners, Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, and they all have great work ethics. And one of them, two of them kind of grew up on a farm. And I asked Father Joseph, our Iowa guy who grew up on the farm, I said, if you're from the Midwest like that, do you only need one saint, one miracle for canonization? And he said, yes, he thought they did. But that seems like a big part of her personality, right?
Yeah.
That kind of friendliness, hard work ethic.
Yeah.
Like putting on the Thirst Conference.
Yeah.
Like that was a big challenge.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think the one miracle, I think the first miracle is being noticed as a saint like that, just getting seen in the midst of the world. But the second one, it would be, then be the supernatural miracle as well. She loved working in Bismarck. She always, I remember she was so excited to go back and to serve the people of Bismarck and to bring mission and that vision there. And I remember talking to her as she was planning the Thirst Conference. She wasn't with Focus anymore, but we would still stay connected. And she just told me how difficult it was, how she has this big vision, this desire to see everyone in the diocese come to this Eucharistic experience. And people who hadn't seen it didn't believe that it could be done. And she just believed. And I remember her telling me, Mark, they just, once they see it, they'll believe, but they can't believe until they see it. And the desire that she had to just make something like that happen in Bismarck, I mean, rural North Dakota, if you've been out there, there's a lot of space in between the people out there. So to bring thousands of people together to worship our Lord and to learn about their faith.
I was listening to that. They got a podcast with some of her talks to like the adult faith formators in the diocese. But she talked about, you know, if we don't turn it over to God, it'll burn us out. You have burnout, frustration, anxiety. So I got the impression she was struggling with the same thing. that we all do. You know, you got to turn that over to God in your life, you know, and to seek His will in it. If I think I'm in control of everything, right, I get burned out.
Yeah.
Now, in your interactions with her, it's funny on the video you talk about sometimes having to beat the bad guy and move her here, move her there. She was at a lot of places mm-hmm. in 6 years, I thought.
Yeah.
But talk about your experience working with her and how she was docile maybe to the Spirit.
Yeah. I was a regional leader, and so I oversaw many missionaries in multiple campuses, and so I was always just trying to pray about and identify what's the best teams that I can assemble for each of these locations. And you're right, she moved many times. In 2006, 2007, she was at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, then she went to South Dakota State in Brookings, South Dakota, and she kept asking if she could get closer to home. Mm-hmm. And then we opened the University of South Dakota, which is farther away from home, and I asked mm-hmm. her if she'd be willing to go there. Mm-hmm. And she said, yeah, I'll go. This is so hard for me because I invite the missionaries, mm-hmm. and missionaries recognize we are dedicated to relationships yeah. and to go deep in those relationships. Mm-hmm. And then so much of the missionary work is kind of transient, yeah. you're moving. And so yeah. she would pour her life into these students and mm-hmm. the ministries where she was at. And then after just a year or two, we'd ask her to up and move and she'd go yeah. someplace else. And I know that was always hard because she left a deep impression and deep right. impact on people, but that goes both ways. And yeah. part of the reason yeah. why she was able to leave that impression is because she was also open to being influenced and impacted by the people that she was walking with in mission right. as well. Yeah, and every time I'd ask her, it was always a very similar experience. Michelle, I need you to move from Brookings to the University of South Dakota. She'd take a deep breath and say, I'll pray about that. Mm-hmm. But I knew she was going to say yes. Yeah, she would yeah. do. Yeah, she would never push back on those things. Mm-hmm. It was just a beautiful witness.
Did you feel challenged by her in some way, maybe to be more generous in your own life? Or?
Yeah, her faith and her confidence that we were all called to be saints, it was something that we talked about almost every time that we would meet. And we would spend 15 to 20 minutes most meetings doing Lectio Divina, just reflecting on the scriptures. Then we'd talk about mission and the team or the campus or whatever else it was that was going on. And just that experience of praying with her and spending time with her in that way, and then hearing her reflections on God, I remember at times being, how do I get those kind of insights and reflections? And she was always just very good at connecting it to daily life and daily experience, and she would bring lessons out of those things. I remember one story where she told me that part of her farm experience was they had an orchard where they had apple trees, and sometimes the apple trees don't produce the fruit that they would want. And this was something that was very challenging. I think about this all the time. She said, when an apple tree doesn't produce the fruit, what we would do, she said, what my dad would do is he would get a big chain and he would go out and he would use the chain to whip the trunk of the tree. Not so much that you would damage it, but to wound the bark just a little bit. Because then what happens is that kind of wounding or whatever, I don't know what the agricultural term is, it would cause the tree to focus harder on healing. And in that work, it would then produce more significant fruit, more and better apples on that particular tree. And she would use that reflection specifically for how our Lord uses the sufferings of our life, these little kind of light momentary trials, in order to bring us to the place where He can produce fruit through us. That was a hard lesson that I learned from her. Maybe God is using a chain to, not really, but those kinds of.
But to help us refocus on the Lord as source, as divine, right? We're supposed to be connected to. Right?
Yeah, and it's not about the wounding, it's about the fruit.
Yeah.
There's a purpose to the difficulties or trials of life to bring about the greater fruit.
And she had this very difficult battle with cancer that last year of her life. Mm-hmm. You weren't able to visit her, but What are your thoughts on that, or maybe stories you heard that touched you?
So I didn't have very much contact with her at all when she began her treatment. The day I heard, I think it was maybe New Year's Eve or New Year's Day in 2014, and I called her that day. And I just wanted to check in and see how she was doing and to try to understand a little bit more about what the diagnosis was and what it looked like and to pray with her a little bit. And I remember I asked her, like, would you be willing to offer your suffering and your treatment for all of the people who would be attending SEEK 2015? And she said, of course, absolutely. And she offered that.
Was that in Nashville?
I should look that up. Okay, I think it was maybe Nashville. They all blend together after one another. The last night I met a young woman who had seen the documentary, and she said, when you mentioned that you'd asked her to offer her suffering up for SEEK 2015, I burst into tears because that was the SEEK I went to and I had a conversion at. And she said, I knew it was because Michelle had been offering her suffering for me. And that was just kind of a beautiful experience. But that year just went so fast. And I remember hearing on Christmas Day that she had passed away. I don't know if somebody sent me a message. And thinking immediately, what a beautiful gift our Lord has taken for himself today. I thought she was like a little birthday gift for Jesus. I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah, I know some people described it as she was so surrendered to God in those sufferings. And I love my favorite point in the documentary is when her sister says, you know, to herself, said, who are you? You know, it's like, I don't know you. You're so transformed by the cross. And, you know, that's in all our lives, right? Jesus saves us by the cross. We share in that. The sufferings, he draws close to us and uses that in a powerful way. And she's just such an eloquent witness. Mm-hmm. Any last thoughts? We got to wrap it up here. But
no, I would encourage people to look up her writings and listen to some of her talks. They're very accessible. I think the story of her life and the way that she lived and the way that she died is beautiful. And I think we should all look to her example for how we're all called to be saints as well.
Well, Mark, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Father. Really appreciate your time.
Well, Brother John, we caught up with Mark at SEEK in Salt Lake City this January. And he's such a kind man, a warm person. And one thing I was struck by what he said in our interview, he said, what a beautiful gift our Lord has taken for himself today. That's what he thought when he heard that Michelle had died on Christmas Day. And I thought, she's just a young woman, wanted to get married, wanted to have a family, you know, has this cancer and dies in a year, and just totally given over to the Lord, you know, just transformed. And it witnesses to all of us that we all belong to the Lord first. That's our first vocation in life, is to have union with him. And I think women image that in such a powerful way.
Yeah, and Michelle DePong, she's been kind of a new name for me, just to learn about her. And I think one thing that's always impressed me about her story is that just from the photographs I've seen, I've never seen a picture of her sad.
Right.
And so I think there is something, there's a warmth there of just something very Christ-like, you know? And I kind of go back to where she was in her life that, you know, she was a missionary here in America. Mm-hmm. She served with Focus for a number of years. And I think that was probably very close to her. It was really to reach out and to evangelize those in the college sphere, which is, you know, obviously in our culture, there's a lot of just influences of secularism, just things that are anti-Catholic, hostile to the faith. But we have to be strong defenders of the faith, and we have to have that heart of a missionary, as Michelle did, you know, and she was willing to speak to all, to reach out, but really to give that example of her virtues.
Yeah, we encourage you to, as I said, to watch the documentary. And I think these saints have a way of choosing us.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of grab hold of us. And I've got one of her holy cards, and she's in the hospital bed, and she's looking and just has this wonderful smile. And I was thinking what Mark said, you know, because they, you know, he was a regional director, she was at some campus or another. And he said when they would meet, he said it was like meeting up with a long lost friend, you know? Mm-hmm. And I look at this picture, and she's got this wonderful smile. She's in the hospital bed, right? She's got this wonderful, but this kind of knowing look about her. And I feel like she's really looking at us, you know, that she wants to help us. She's in heaven. She can intercede for us. And so I just encourage you to look into her life, such a powerful witness of transformation in Christ. You know, what the cross does, we accept that and unite that with our dear Lord. So may our Heavenly Father shine His face upon you. May He give you His peace. May He send you into His vineyard with the power of the Holy Spirit. And may God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.
By the saving grace of God, it is Christ who changed my life. And I have seen the Lord, I have seen the Lord. He's no longer dead, He is risen. I have seen the Lord, I have seen the Lord. Have seen the glory of our God. I have seen, my eyes have seen the glory of our God. And I have